This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday morning edition of Two Birds and a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast from the patio studios, of course. And again, sorry about the one-day delay. Had some scheduling things going on. We had guys all over in different places. So we thought it better to go ahead and just do an edition when everybody could, everybody, myself and the only guy that really matters, Mr. Molina, on the line without running from here to there. So sorry about the one-day delay, but we hope to bring you a good show today. Again, special thanks to the guys over at Patio's, and of course, my good friend Randy Green over at Innovative Companies, who brings us the show each and every week. He does such a tremendous job. Man of his word. That's the InnovatedCompanies.com, home now of the construction team, the electric team, heating and cooling, and of course, now available, the plumbing division, all underneath that one umbrella at InnovatedCompanies.com. Don't forget to give him an opportunity for your business. Again, the most impressive thing about him is he's a man of his word, folks. So it's very rare these days, the way things have changed over the years. So give a guy an opportunity for your business that still believes that it's important to give your word and shake a hand. So, again, that's my good friend and yours, Randy Green. Okay, well, we're going to dive right into it today. You know, when we were going to do the show yesterday, obviously, we would have been coming off of a win against the Cubs, which, you know, again, we lost 2-3. But, you know, season series, you know, we're still up 4-2. And in the end, I think we've proven over the years that it's important at the end of the season to make sure that you beat the Cubs in the season series. A lot was made of it last year that we had the same records, but they beat us in the season series. So I think it is important to beat them. Now, that being said, the Friday night game was just let's face it, folks, an ass kicking from the first pitch. And then Saturday's game, very winnable. Couldn't get it done. And in the end, we wind up winning. And then, of course, with the show being delayed, we have the opportunity to, you know, let's face it, maybe have two games in a row we could talk about on the positive side. Although I think Philadelphia is an improved ball team, there's no doubt that I think we should handle our business there. The great Nick Pivetta dominated us, and we've found a way to fight back after one of your more reliable starters couldn't give you more than five innings, which this is an issue, folks. And we're going to talk about it today. I want to talk to the man about it, but the starting pitching, while being a strength, they got to start giving us more than five innings. Everybody wonders about the bullpen. Number one, the bullpen's not very good to begin with, and then you're asking them to take on just a monumental task night in and night out. When your weakness gets pressured every night, it's going to break. It's just simple. It's going to. That being said, we had an opportunity to win a baseball game last night, and we didn't do it. So I'm real curious to get some thoughts. This is becoming, once again, we talked about it, it's become a broken record. So let's welcome in the man himself on the M4byYachty.com hotline, Mr. Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to do this and talk some baseball.
Well, first off, sorry I didn't get to see you over the weekend. Obviously, I was in Omaha for baseball myself.
You're busy, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, to be sorry.
Yeah,
busy.
Yeah, it was good. You know, my son obviously played there, and then we were able to, you know, catch some College World Series stuff, to workouts, and then the first couple games. And it was, you know, it's always great to, you know, if you love baseball and you love the purity of it, it's pretty cool. And then watching high school kids play games all over Omaha that week, for the whole week, was really good. So, you know, teams from all over. So a lot of fun. But back here, obviously you were in town. The Cubbies were in town. You know, didn't go as well as we had hoped. In the end, you know, we're still 4-2 against the Cubs. You know, I'm going to go right to what I just mentioned. You know, I looked back. Even some of our better starts, these guys are going through five innings. You know, Benji, you caught a lot of games in the big leagues. And I had asked somebody one day, and he told me, this surprises me with all the numbers we have, that this is a hard stat to go find. But I would love to know what a baseball team's, all the baseball teams that have ever, when the pitcher doesn't give you more than five innings, what their record is. I just think on the whole, there's no way it's great. It can't be.
It can't be. It's the same with the runner's current position that we were talking before. It has to be better. It has to be good numbers because that's your job, right? That's what we work on. That's what we do. But going back to what you said about five innings, Jimbo, I took pride on taking the guys. I'm not saying that Yadi doesn't. Of course he does. But many catchers doesn't care. They do not care. So they just care about the hitting. They just care about their numbers so they can make some money in the free agency. I mean, that's just – it's baseball, though. You know, I don't like it, but some guys do. So anyways – When you have guys that throws five innings, it's very simple, Jimbo. It's not gonna help. It's not gonna help. And if you only have two guys that throw five, maybe you can survive some of that. But when you have most of your guys going five innings, like almost all of them, I mean, Mikolas, you can just put him aside because he's been consistent. He had a tough go yesterday at the first inning, but then he settled down. It kept us in the game, which actually we came back, and I want to talk about it in a minute. But for guys to be throwing five innings, man, it's gonna really hurt the bullpen. If you see I always like to compare our teams to the winning teams that are in first place, the guys that are doing it, the guys that are in where we want to be, which is first place. So I always try to do that. If you see the bullpen for the Cubs, I mean, or the starting rotation, those guys, the only one that I think goes lower, it's Hendricks, that usually Joe gets him out, you know? So all of them goes more than five, more than six, and all that stuff. So you have to go six, you have to go seven if you are the starter. I'm going to tell you one thing, Jimbo. One of the reasons why these kids go less and less inning these days, and Pedro Martinez said it, we might not even see any other pitchers go into the Hall of Fame other than Scherzer and Kershaw, guys that go 7, 8, 9. I mean, after those guys, these games change so much, he said. He said that guys are throwing five innings. How do you expect them to be in the Hall of Fame? They can't reach milestones. They can't win many games going only five. So one of the reasons these kids go five is because the strikeout. They want, that's one of the reasons. I'm not saying it's all the reasons, but that's one of the reasons, the trying to strike out everybody. Another reason, that's the main reason, I think, it's they're afraid of contact. You know, these days they're hitting home runs everywhere. They're hitting the ball hard. They got the numbers, and they're afraid of giving up home runs, or they're afraid of giving up a hit or something. I don't know, but when you have guys going constantly to a 3-2 count, when you had, well, I'm not going to say Pedro Martinez because this is a Hall of Fame, so I'm going to say normal guys go out and get contact. I'd rather have two strikeouts and then go 8 innings. I always told my pitchers, I do not care about if you struck out 10, 15 in a game. I can care less about it. I want you to go 8 innings, 1 strikeout. 8 innings, 2 strikeouts. You know, something like that. So these kids right now, they're so afraid of contact that they end up on 3-2 counts almost every batter. Plus, you got to count the foul balls. You got to do all these. And now these days, they're in a pitch count. So which around 100, it's the magic number that if you don't seem strong and the ball's not breaking how it is at 100, they're going to get him out. So guess what? When they're in the fifth inning, sixth inning, you need a rally. You got two guys out. What do? Pinch hit for the pitcher because he already have 80 to 90 pitches, and you're going to get him out anyways. So it's hard for these kids, but they need to start throwing more than 5 innings, and you're right, man.
Well, again, it is what it is, and I understand that, you know, you can't make something what it's not, but in the end, it's only logical. I mean, you can't do it every night. And you know what kills me? And I love to go back and forth with fans. But, you know, a few years ago when Tony La Russa was the manager, we watched him in the postseason go to the bullpen at the first hint of trouble in the third and fourth inning. And everybody just thinks now that that's the way you operate a bullpen. You can't do that. You can't do it. And everybody's like, well, the Memphis shuttle. You've got all the Memphis shuttle guys up here. They're up and down and up and down. There's rules. You can't send a guy down and bring him right back up. I mean, and who else is down there that's ready to come up? Eventually, you run out of guys. We have run out of guys.
At old school, Jimbo, the guys that are old school, they give you 2 innings. They didn't care. They pitch the next day. You know, they pitch 3 days in a row. That was the difference. These kids right here, you pitch them 1 inning. Today, that you might pitch him 1 inning tomorrow, but then they need that third day off. Not all of them, obviously, but most of them do. You know, things like that. So when you have when you have Cecil that has pitched 2 days in a row, you know the third day is going to be hard. This is just an example. So who are you going to bring from the bullpen to face a lefty if he's down? So before it was different because the guys pitch more and often. But right now in this age, man, you have to go 7. I mean, not have to, but at least, man, get over there, you know, so you get less innings for that bullpen. You know what it does to throw 4 innings out of the bullpen today and then 4 innings about a bullpen tomorrow and then 4 innings about a bullpen the next day? I mean, come on, man. Come on, we're asking for a lot here. We have to be realistic, too. And for people out there, you know, our fans and stuff, listen, they are trying. They're going after to perform. They're going after to go 9 innings. The thing is that they're not doing it, and that's what's hurting the bullpen. But they're going after to try, too. I mean, they're trying after, but they're just not doing it.
Were you surprised that Kelvin Herrera was traded to Washington? And, you know, they did give up 3 prospects. I don't know I don't know that any of them were what I would call can't-miss guys. Were you surprised that the Cardinals?
Two guys. 3 guys. 2 guys were good. Then.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
The third guy was like a little minor league kind of throw-in guy.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised. That would be a big key for us right there. I don't know if they're thinking about making moves, Jimbo. I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it. I don't really think they want to make any moves. They haven't made any move with our team, which we are, what's today, June, in the middle of June, almost end of June.
Yeah.
And we still have the same guys doing what they're doing out there. I don't think they're making any moves, man.
Well, in the end, you know, I saw somebody, you know, see, here's the thing. What is the answer? Is the answer to throw money at the problem? I think we've tried that. Colorado tried that this year, and it hasn't worked out for them. They spent $100 million on their bullpen, and it's awful. The best guy in their bullpen is a guy that's been there for a little while, Ottavino, and he's a career guy that's just finally putting it together. They spent a bunch of money on Brian Shaw and Wade Davis, and while Wade Davis was pretty good early, he hasn't been very good lately, and he sure looks to be what everybody said was going to happen. He sure looks like he's tiring and wearing down. What's the answer? I got to tell you, I always say, listen, we having an opinion and getting upset or getting angry or being happy or burying your head in the sand, fan however you want to fan. Do what you want to do. For me personally, I'm sitting here thinking, what would I do? Now, here's the thing. I would do some things that are drastic. Now, that being said, I'm also not running the business. And the problem is we as fans, we don't, and it's okay. I'm not saying we should, but we do not ever take into account that this is a business. Now, I will say, and I have no idea how you feel about this. You and I have never talked about this. But I mean, other than saving face, which at this juncture, are you saving face by keeping Holland and Cecil? Because here's the deal. You can't tell me, okay, and again, from a business, now, again, here we are. I understand that it's not me writing a guy a check to go away. I understand that. That cannot be an easy thing to do. It's probably not good business practice because while we think that's a good idea now, most people in the business would say that's actually not a good idea, and let me explain to you why. I would love to hear it because I'm sure there's another side to this that we don't think of because we're not thinking logically because right now all we want is for them to be better. So my point on it is this. If I was running the Cardinals right now, and again, to me, is this a drastic move? Yes, it's a drastic move, but I think you've got to do something drastic at this point. The very first thing I would do today is there are a couple things I would do. I would start eliminating the things that are causing us issue. Number one, I would cut Greg Holland, okay? I would call him in and I'd write him a check. And the reason I would write him a check is this, because the guy I'm going to call up isn't making any money. So what is the difference? If, and again, here's who I'd call up. I'd call up Dakota Hudson and I'd put him in the bullpen. Because you can't tell me he's not better than Greg Holland right now. I have a hard time believing
that. But the difference
is right now, Jimbo, like you said, the difference is that Holland is making $14 million out of my pocket.
Right.
How do I just say, oh, let him go, and then here, I'll pay you, no worries.
Oh, well, okay.
I understand. That's not coming from a business guy. That's coming from a fan.
Okay, I agree. But on the flip side, what I'm saying is, so you'd rather pay a guy $14 million to kill you? I'd rather pay...
We wanted him.
I know that.
We wanted him.
No. I know that.
That was a good timing.
Oh, I agree.
Let's not forget that.
I agree. In
that
fact...
That was a great timing.
We're
doing it now because it's not worked out. But it was a great signing. He was supposed to help us in the bullpen, right? Obviously, it didn't work out. It haven't worked out. That's why we're having this discussion. But it was supposed to be one of the great. It's like you just mentioned, Colorado. They were supposed to be great with Wade and Brian Shaw. But it haven't worked out. But you don't sign a guy to fail. You don't sign Curton Wong to hit 180. You don't sign Lester Fowler to a five-year deal and hit 180. You don't sign Carpenter to a big deal and hit 230 or whatever. You don't sign those dudes to do that. You sign them to do good. But in this case, they haven't worked out. But it's hard for management to turn away and say, here, I'm going to be paying you, buddy. So what are they going to do next? Designate for assignment. I was watching the news, and they were talking about designated for assignment Fowler with three more years under his belt and big money. Huh. Fowler, Holland, who's next? And then before you know it, you're paying $30 million, and you don't even have him in your team.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
No, you're right, but my point on it is this, okay? You've already guaranteed, because baseball contracts are guaranteed, you're already guaranteed to pay him $14 million, right? Would you rather pay him $14 million and hurt you? Or would you rather pay him $14 million to go away and stop hurting you and bring up a kid making $500,000? You can't tell me that if it's better for your club, the total number there is $14,550,000. because the $550,000 is who you're going to replace him with. You can't tell me that that's not a good move. It's now, again, DFAing Dexter Fowler, I get that because, A, the reality of it is he's had a bad few months. Okay, you hope he turns it around. What we don't want to deal with as fans is that the only way he's going to turn it around is if he plays. It's kind of a chicken and egg thing, and I understand that. I'm frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. But if Dexter Fowler is who he was the second half of last year, well, he's a productive player and he helps you. On that note, though, I would say this. Again, I'm just playing GM here. I'm cutting Holland and I'm bringing up Dakota Hudson. I'm bringing up somebody that I think can go out and pitch every other day, or that can pitch three times a week, because that's really...
Yeah, he's a starter, though.
I know he's a starter. Right? Yeah, well, you know, so was Jordan Hicks.
It's hard for a starter to come in and pitch every other day, I tell you that right now. You don't see that often. The starter needs the time to warm up. What's happening to Gumber? He's a starter. And then he's having trouble out there in the bullpen. And then I talked to him a few times, and I told him, and I say, hey, what do you think? He said, I'm here in the big leagues. I love it. I'll do it, but I'll stick with my starting. You know, like, he likes the starting. He likes the setup. It's hard. Did you see on Sunday when he came in, he has to start warming up like an inning before he came in. It's hard for a starter to start getting ready and go in, and then all of a sudden the next day, and then all of a sudden the third day, or every other day. I mean, it's hard, man. I'm not saying that it cannot be done, but for some people and for some guys, it's really, really hard. So you bringing Hudson in doesn't mean he's going to shut the door, though.
Well, again, here's my thing.
The better option, like you said, I get it, but this moment it's a better option, but hey.
Well, either way, I'm cutting him because, again, you're paying him no matter what, and he's gone after this year. I'm going to call around, and I'm going to try to find somebody that'll take Fowler, and I'll eat as much as I have to because, again, whoever I replace Fowler with, whether it's, let's be honest, whether it's Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, Oscar Mercado, it could be any of the guys, Adolis Garcia, it could be any of the guys in the minors.
Bader's your guy.
I understand that. No. I understand.
No.
My point was, for anybody out there that wants to argue that it should be this guy or this guy, again, they're not going to make a bunch of money. So therefore, even though it sucks that I gave this guy money and he's gone now, I would rather have the problem gone. I tweeted this last night. The bottom line is there's at least six guys on this team that got to go. Otherwise, we're going to keep having the same problems. They're not going to get any better.
Let me tell you this one, Jimbo. In Anaheim, I was told, I didn't see it that way, but I was told that Josh Hamilton was the problem in the team, right? He didn't want to be there. He wasn't a nice teammate. Whatever. He was the problem. He always get hurt. He was always hurt, by the way. But he was making $100 million for 4 years.
Yep.
And they didn't cut him. They didn't cut him. They just kept him there and waited out 4 years. So I'm thinking, I know it's easier decision for us, right, because obviously, like you said, we're not making the checks. But I don't think that's the way these guys are thinking. I don't think that Mo and their company – are thinking that way, to let go of that kind of money. And I hear you. You know, like if you can bring a guy up instead of $14 million, it's $14.5 million and things like that. I hear you, but this is us thinking. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know if they're thinking, no way, we got to keep this guy in our roster, man. We're gonna look bad if we let him go. You know, we just signed him. How the heck are we? He haven't even pitched over here much. We're going to look like idiots, so we got to keep them in the roster. These things that goes out in their heads, man.
Well, I agree with you 100%. My question would be this to you. This is my question to you as a guy that played the game. So you're right. So they look like idiots, right? Don't they look like idiots if they can't admit this was a mistake and just cut the loss? What's a better way to look like an idiot, I guess? I mean...
well, both sides, they look bad, but it wasn't a bad signing. I want people to understand.
No, that. I don't think it was. I'm with you on that. I applaud them for doing it.
It's not. So just let's get that out of your head. It's not. It wasn't a bad signing. It was a great signing that was supposed to help our bullpen. You imagine Holland throwing great in that bullpen with that 1-something ERA like he normally does, and closing out games for us, dude. We would have had like 5 or 6 more wins. And not to take credit away from Norris, because he's doing a heck of a job, but Norris, and then you add Hicks in the 7, Norris in the 8, and Holland pitching great in the 9. Come on, man. That's a great signing. It's just that it haven't worked out, right? There's plenty of not good signings that we can discuss other than Holland. The Holland part, hey, man, it haven't worked out, but I thought he was a great signing, so.
No, I agree. In fact, they're complaining about it. The reality of it is this, okay, and you can look at this however you want to look at it, but the truth of the matter is this. You see teams that have good bullpens that go out and trade for closers when they already have a closer. They do it to build a strength, okay? We weren't sure what we had anyway. Anybody that says they knew Bud Norris was going to be great is an idiot, because it's you didn't know that, and 99% of Twitter and Facebook hated it, number one. Number two, now there were people out there
he was going to be a middle of the
right.
Open, right?
That's yeah.
why he was coming here.
Now, there were people I did see tweet out that said, hey, listen, did anybody pay attention that last year before he got hurt, he was really good in L.A.? And he was. He was really good before he hurt his knee. So there were some people that pointed out that the numbers would suggest that we were being hard on him just because he wasn't, let's face it, because he wasn't Wade Davis. And at that time, he wasn't Greg Holland. We wanted a name, right? Just like everybody does. Let me tell you something. The Colorado Rockies paid dearly for Wade Davis. Okay? $16 million he's getting this year. And while he's been good about 75% of the time, the other 25%, he ain't been very good. Brian Shaw.
No.
Everybody wanted Brian Shaw. Awful. He's been awful.
Yeah. But like I said, Jimbo, too, you don't sign him to be awful. That's because they're having an awful season. You don't sign a guy to be awful. You sign him because they're great, and they're good pitchers. They're just not having a great year. But you don't sign him to be bad, this bad. Obviously, Colorado made a freaking – I thought Colorado was – the GM was a genius when they signed these two guys. I said, man, they're going to run away with this division. I thought if they pitch out to their capabilities, both of those guys in the 8 and 9, and then you have Shaw pitching in the 7 too sometimes. Oh, no way those guys should win at least a lot of games more than last year. And I thought they were going to be good. But you don't sign them to fail. They're failing themselves. So when you sign them, it's a great signing. Is it work out? It haven't worked out. They're not pitching great. But they are great pitchers, and when you sign them, it's a great sign. They just haven't been able to perform, right?
Yeah, I would, and I would say for the Cardinals, let's face it. I mean, while we can talk about Colorado, nobody here gives a shit about Colorado. They only care about the Cardinals. And when you look at the Cardinals, the Greg Holland thing is the reason that people are upset is, A, it's not just Greg Holland. This is like signing number what that's not working out. I mean, it started with Cecil, then it's Gregerson, then it's Holland. I mean, it's on and on and on. And, I remember back a long time ago. I'll never forget.
I really believe Gregerson's going to be the key to our bullpen. I really do believe so, Jimbo. I know he's a veteran. I know he's older. But I really do believe he can make a difference. You know why? Because he can get lefties and righties out, and he can pitch 3-day, 4-day, 5 days in a row. Those are the type of guys we need with our bullpen. So, I mean, with our starters going 5 and 6. So I really believe that when he's healthy, he's gonna be a big, big key for us. And I really, really believe so.
Well, we're not going to find that out till next year because he's out for the year. So,
what does he have?
He had surgery on something. He's out for the year. Either his hip or knee, hip or knee or something. I don't know what it was, but he's done.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I thought he was out for like a DL.
Yeah, no, he was originally, and then he came back, and then it was whatever. So yeah, he's done. But
yeah, never mind. But that kid could have been our guy in the bullpen, because that kid pitches every day, and that kid could save some arms in the bullpen, you know. But now that you said that, no, I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
Well, again, so we're looking at it, right, and we're trying to figure this out. But so when it comes to the Cardinals, and let's face it, that's all we care about. You know, you basically have a bunch of money that you've spent. See, the Cardinals have spent some money, but they haven't spent it wisely, obviously, because the things haven't worked out. This takes me back a long time ago when I was young, and I still maintain my thought process to this day. Randy Johnson was a free agent, and there were rumors that the Cardinals were interested in him. Well, if I remember this correctly, I believe he wound up getting $10 million a year, which is amazing, right, to think now today what they're getting. But the Cardinals didn't sign him, and what they did is they signed a guy for half the price, and he was terrible. And I always said, why wouldn't you sign the guy that's proven? Now, it's one thing to sign an aging guy. Like, listen, I would have loved to have had Wade.
Let me finish
so you can comment on it. I would have signed Wade Davis no differently than I was glad they signed Greg Holland for 1 year. And if it wouldn't have worked out, I wouldn't have sat here and complained like that was a bad signing, just like I'm not complaining about Holland. Because here's the problem. You have to try to do that because you've put yourself in a situation that you have to try. So therefore, I get that. But when you have the ability to sign like, we're going to go back to the Max Scherzer thing. That was just them not being interested in Max Scherzer is just stupid. It's just dumb. There is no explanation for that. There's nothing they're going to tell me. It's the one question I would ask Mo. Mo, if you were going to be honest with me, why weren't you interested in Scherzer? And his answer may be this simple. We didn't show any interest because we knew what he was going to cost and we didn't have a value on him. It might be that simple. But I would expect him to look at me and go, we were obviously wrong. And if he said that, what are you going to say? But other than that, and again, I want to hear your thoughts on these relievers, because Wade Davis, while it's not working out now, Greg Holland's not working out now, when you have as many saves as these guys have, and you've been good for an extended period of time, to your point, they're not bad signings. They're just not working out. And let's face it, I'll finish with this. For everybody this is what I don't understand too about fans. This is the one thing, these are the things I'm talking about when fans say things. You're saying things because you're angry and you're not thinking about what you're saying. People are trying to blame the Cardinals that they waited and signed Greg Holland on the first day of the season. Let me make you understand something. The reason the Cardinals signed him on the first day of spring training and not at the beginning of the season and not at the beginning of spring training is because at the beginning of spring training he wanted 3 years. The day they signed him is the day he finally called and said, okay, I'll take a year. And they said, okay, well, we'll do a year. And you know why they only wanted to do a year? For this very reason. So that's why they didn't sign him earlier. So what did you want? You wanted them to sign him 6 weeks earlier and give him 3 years and we'd be dealing with this mess? Come on, people. Anyway, go ahead, Benji.
No, I was going to make it to your point about Wade Davis, but you already covered it. So you said what I was going to say. You know, like, if you tell me I want to overpay Wade Davis and bring him up to our bullpen, I would have done it. I would have done it in a heartbeat. Overpay the guy, bring him to the bullpen. He's having trouble in Colorado. Doesn't mean he would have done the same thing in St. Louis. Nobody knows that. So when you sign this guy, yeah, he's having trouble right now. That's what we know. That's what he's been happening. But you don't know he's going to have trouble in St. Louis if we would have signed him. Nobody knows that. Brian Shaw, the same way. Maybe he's been killing it in St. Louis in the eighth inning for us, and we'll be in a better shape. But nobody knows that. That's what I'm trying to say. Now we're talking because we got these numbers and that they're already done. What I tell analytics, how can you tell that Albert Pujols is going to get a hit against Greg Holland in the ninth inning? No, you have your analytics because it happened already. That's the only thing, you know? That's what I'm saying. Talking about right now, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if those things are going to work. So it's the same way with the pitching. You sign the best guys out there, and I told you guys for many months, and we've been talking about it, you have to go out after Wade Davis
you have to go out after Brian Shaw because they were the best one. Addison Reed, he's not having a great year either. But you go after the best arms. You're doing something for the team. Like the Cardinals, they got it right. They got it a one-year deal. They just did it a little late because of what the situations that were happening and the years he was asking. But they got it just a little late. But that was a great signing, man. That was an awesome signing. But it didn't work out. It haven't worked out for Colorado. So, I mean, it's just at, to your point, you know?
Well, and the thing is, I'm not quite sure. To my knowledge, I don't know. I can't think of anybody that we really talked about as logical options for the Cardinals. I'm not sure any of them have done very well, to be honest. Juan Nicasio has had stretches where he's been good, but he's also had stretches in Seattle. They went out and traded for an eighth-inning guy because he was falling apart. Addison Reed's been okay. I think he's been, of all the guys we liked, he's been the best of the bunch. Wade Davis, obviously struggling. Brian Shaw, struggling. Greg Holland, obviously, we've caught that one firsthand.
But Herrera was one of the guys that the Cardinals were involved in talking to for a trade, right?
Who was that?
In the offseason. Herrera, the guy from Kansas City that got traded to the
Well, I mean, obviously. I mean, I think he's always been – I mean, I think Herrera's been mentioned with every team that needs bullpen help. And that's – you know, and here's the thing. I don't have any idea how the – you know, again, I don't know how the Cardinals value him. I mean, I watched Herrera last year be awful at times. Awful. So, again, do I like him? Well, sure. Because here's the thing about – listen.
If they're their best arms, Jimbo, you want them, right?
Right. Let's.
If they're the best arms out there, you want them. If they work out or not, it's out of your position. Out of your control.
That's right. And that's kind of my point on it. So, for instance, let's say let's just look at it and say, okay, Kelvin Herrera is available. Well, I got to tell you that I've watched Kelvin Herrera pitch, and he's been downright awful at times. Now, this year, he's having a good year, but last year, not so much. My point is this. It doesn't even matter. You have to try to go get him because you have an obvious need. The fact that they did not...
And he's the best out there right now, too.
And the fact that...
he's around the best out there.
Well, and my thing is this. So if he is available and you don't go get him, that tells you what the front office is thinking. They're going to stick with this. And again, you can...
There were 47,000 people all three games against the Cubs. 47,000 people. They bought tickets. And there were a lot of people there because we did the games. Isn't that amazing? And you have a team that is, normal, it's having takeoff yet, and they're not playing their best ball, but they're still coming. And it's sad to say, man, I don't want to say this because it might get me in a little trouble, but it's sad to say. I talk to many GMs, and they all tell me, man, as long as they get 3 million fans out there total in a year, they're not fine with losing. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm trying to say here. They're not fine with losing. What I'm saying is they're fine with 3 million fans, man, and they'll take it, and then they'll try to get their team better next year. That's how they keep up with those free agent signings. So what have we talked, Jimbo, all these months, all these years, about the bullpen? And I told you it was going to be a key for us to succeed. You want the Cardinals to win. You got Ozuna. And that lineup, I like it. I can win with that because we've been up some games in the six. We've been up some games in the whatever you want to call it. Like a sixth, seventh, eighth inning, and ninth inning. We've been up. So I like the lineup how it is. Obviously, we want them to perform higher. We want them to have 100 RBIs by the All-Star break. Of course we do. But guess what, man? We had guys. We've been up. We've been up in the score, and then we have a few of the bullpen collapses that we talk about. Remember, this is not a conversation right now. This is before Holland was signed. This is before Norris was signed. I told you guys, you have to have a bullpen. You have to have guys coming in and shutting down. Did you see that game that we lost to the Cubs, 6-3? Did you see that game? Rosario came in.
Yep.
1, 2, 3. Bum, 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 bum. Out. Did you see Pedro Strop? Bum, 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 bum. Out. Did you see Cicek that we didn't want him here? But 94 with the slider. Now he's with against us with the Cubs, shutting the door down in three batters. And then you've got Brandon Morrow. He had a little trouble with us. But guess what? He shut the door down. I mean, that's the setup bullpen, man. That's what I'm trying to say. If you want to win a division, if you want to win games, that's one of the ways you're going to have to do it in the Cardinal Nation.
Well, what I'm trying to do here is I'm looking at the standings, and I want to move on because, I mean, we've berated the bullpen to death. But the reality of it is this. Just look at the standings. Yankees, I'd say their bullpen's pretty good. Red Sox, pretty good. Cleveland Indians, pretty good. And, hell, they're only five games over the great Cleveland Indians. Houston Astros and Seattle Mariners, I think we know about their bullpens, right? The Atlanta Braves, our oldest Vizcaino's figured it out. He's been great, and so have their young arms down there that are getting them to the ninth. Chicago Cubs, we've already talked about it. Arizona Diamondbacks, Archie Bradley, Broxberger, all them guys. You know, the kid, the Harami, is it Uricio, however you pronounce it, been great. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's really not. Now, look, the Colorado Rockies are three games under 500. Why do you think they're three games under 500? Because their bullpen has failed them.
Yes. Yeah, you give me a team, Jimbo, right now. You give me a team, and you say, okay, Bimo, what do we need to address this team with? You're new. I'm new. I don't know much about your team. I'm going to Tampa Bay. And I'm going to tell them, hey, man, let's start with a closer. Let's start with an eighth inning guy. And give me another good seventh inning guy. Who do you have in mind? That's what I would start with. That's what I would start in the big leagues, of course. You know, in the big leagues. That's where I would go. And I told you this from a long time ago. This is not new. Obviously, we've been banging this thing for a while. But I told you before, it's the bullpen. You give me a seventh inning, you give me a closer. When we had a chance to get Davis, get him. When we had a chance to get Holland, great, we got him. They haven't worked out, but we got him. Things like that. You know what I'm saying?
No. I agree. And again, because you don't have a bunch of great internal options, I don't know what else you're supposed to do other than take a shot. They took a shot. It didn't work. To finish on the Kelvin Herrera thing, the only thing I see that could have made the Cardinals say, I'm not sure he's our guy, is his strikeouts are down. I mean, he's less than a strikeout per inning, and this is a guy that used to blow people's doors off. So maybe they see regression in him that they're already dealing with. I have no idea. I'm just trying to guess why in the world a guy was available, and they gave up three prospects, two of them okay, one of them not so good, but I think we could have matched that.
Is he an upgrade for us or no?
I would have said so, yes.
Okay, there's your answer. So you got to go for him. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm trying to say. If it's not better than the guys we have, why go for him? But he's surely way better than what we have. Truly.
And here's another thing. I want to say this, and I'll get your thoughts on this real quick before we. So everybody assumes. Well, let me ask you, why would the Padres trade Brad Hand? Why would they trade him?
Well, it's because it's a different organization that they might not care so much about winning. That's what I can think of, right?
Well, I mean, I'm just – now, listen, I don't know anybody at the Padres. I don't – let me say this. They got a bunch of young talent, right? They got some prospects. They got some young guys that are making their bones in the leagues, right? They went out and gave a bunch of money to Eric Hosmer, a bunch of money. Right? A whole bunch of money. And they have a great young closer. Why would you trade him? That makes no sense. Yeah. That makes zero sense.
But that's a different organization. You might not ever see that in the Yankees. You might never see that in Boston. Jimbo?
And like, again...
If you have a hand in Boston... He might be your closer, or he might be your eighth inning guy for 10 years.
I agree. I just don't understand why you gave a bundle of money to Eric Hosmer and you're going to trade one of the best young arms and young closers in baseball. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Unless you say, yeah, we'll trade him.
The only thing to
you're
going
to have to blow our doors off. What's that?
No, I was going to say, like, the only best way to understand it is looking at the organization, and then you'll understand.
Well, and again, I'm kind of asking a rhetorical question because I'm not so sure they trade him unless somebody gives them a buttload for him. That's kind of my point.
They already have a buttload. They just can't win, but they already have a buttload. And guess what? Those last two guys in their bullpen, they're the best guys in the league, I think. The Yates guy and Han, man, they're nasty, man, and they can close out games so easy. Well, I was talking to Yadi. Yadi likes those two guys. I mean, obviously, he's not trying to trade anybody. But I'm just saying, I asked him, I said, hey, man, what do you think about these two guys? He loves them, man. They go out there and they perform. They're performing. That's what you need, guys, to go out there and perform. You want to win, Jimbo. You want to win, you go get guys that perform. You don't mind losing. You don't mind having a so-so season. Then you keep doing what you're doing, and that's okay because that's what they want, right? But you have to, if you want to win, if you want to beat the Brewers in this case, if you want to beat the Cubs, if you want to beat Pittsburgh, that you need to go get guys that can get it done. You know, we can't have we haven't even touched the lineup. We haven't even touched the last three guys in the lineup, which I love those guys. Believe me, I mean, they're good people. I'm not trying to say that. We're not talking about how nice they are. We're talking about performing and doing, you know, helping. So we cannot have three guys in the bottom of the lineup or two guys and then counting the pitcher three, you know, doing what they're doing for us. It's not going to happen. It's not can't expect to win like that. You know, even though we've been in some games that we've been up, but, dude, you can't expect to win. You know, the Cubs have Javi Baez in the bench. They have Almora in the bench. They have Lestela in the bench, which they're all 300 hitters. Well, maybe not Javi Baez, but the other guys are 300 hitters. They could start in any other team, and they're still on the bench the other day. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, but, yeah.
And then you put Javi Baez back in, and then you have Ben Silvers in the bench. You see the difference?
Well, they right. got a second baseman that plays a great outfield in Ian Happ. Because, like I said, I find it odd that Cardinal fans seem to forget that most guys playing in the majors at one time or another were probably the shortstop and pitcher on the best team in their area until they were about 18, 19
Schwarber.
Years old.
Have you seen Schwarber catch a fly ball, Jimbo?
It's not great, but he gets it done if they hit it at him.
No, I know. He gets it done. I was going to get to that. But have you seen how he catch him? He fly. He goes there. Oh, shoot. He catches it, right?
Most of them. So I would say most, not all.
Not all, but most of them, that's why he's there. Because he catches most of them and he hits pretty good. But if he would have hit it like last year, I bet you Joe would have been doing something. He would be in the bench. So what I'm trying to say, Jimbo, for the fans out there, you have to perform. I know people are mad at Matheny. I know people are mad at Joe Mabry. They don't hit. They don't pitch. They're the greatest motivator, the best prepared coaches that I ever even seen. And they still don't hit. They still don't hit. That's not their thing. The players have to hit. The players. The players have to pitch. The players have to come in and throw 1, 2, 3 innings. The players have to go out there and throw 7 innings. The player have to go and hit the double for a game-winning base hit or whatever. They do it. I'm telling you guys. And if they want to make a change, I mean, I'm up for it, whatever. They can do whatever they want. But like, I like one thing you said yesterday. It could be anybody out there right now. It could be any manager. And I bet you anything, they still going to have the struggles. They still going to have the pitching struggle, and they still going to have the guys struggling at the plate. Doesn't matter who you put out there, because there's the players are the one who needs to do it, man.
Well, again, I hate to say this. I'm just not sure they're very good. I think they're good. I don't know that they're very good. And if you look at the standings, the problem is, I want to talk about this in the next break. So let's do this. Let me just remind people who we are. TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's absolutely free. Just click subscribe to the podcast. It'll walk you through it. It takes about 30 seconds. Do your shopping at Amazon through our website. We'd appreciate it greatly. It means a lot to us. Helps us with production costs. Find us on social media. We are at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you like our Twitter page, we're going to like yours back if you're a Cardinal fan for sure. Find us on Facebook. That's our big ass. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Invite all your friends that are Cardinal fans. We would love them to be part of the conversation as well. Go to Instagram, type in Two Birds on a Bat Show, like us on Instagram. We're part of lineupmedia.fm, now home to Yo Radio. We're going to ask you to check out Yo Radio. It's absolutely free. It's one of the newest internet radio stations. They got great stations on the station. Just a ton of different types of music and all kinds of new stuff coming out, podcast stories, celebrities with stations. I mean, it's going to be a really great thing as they move forward. Lots of cool stuff happening. Check out Yo Radio. Again, download it. It's absolutely free. Leave them a review. They'd greatly appreciate it. Special thanks to Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, our producers. They mean so much to the show. Of course, we come to you from the Patio Studios, and you heard me talk about my good friend Randy Green at Innovated Companies. But don't forget about my man Mark Marcuso down at Arlington Greens, the hidden jewel here in the Midwest, located in Granite City, right outside of town, right on the border of Collinsville as well. Tremendous golf course, tremendous staff. They do a great job. He hosts so many great events. He does so much for people. You know, typically a lot of you guys out there, I'm sure, playing charity golf tournaments. Those tournaments are the lifeblood of whatever it is these people have decided to take on when it comes to that task. It means a lot that when you go somewhere, you can count on them to run the tournament correctly, to provide a good venue, to make sure everything is set up as you need, to be, you know, very hospitable, to be able to host. They do a tremendous job down there, second to none, I promise you, when it comes to running tournaments. And if you want to just get out there and play, they have great leagues, great options to play, especially during the day. So get down there and check out my man Mark Marcuso and the wonderful staff at Arlington Greens. And if you're going to eat barbecue, don't forget about my man. I haven't been back in a little bit. My schedule hasn't allowed it, but I know you guys have went. Steve's went numerous times. We've had a lot of people texting at us and tweeting at us and sending us message that, without a doubt, our friends at Adam's Smokehouse do a tremendous job. Again, whether it's ribs, brisket, pork, the turkey, I mean, all the amazing sides that they have down there. Make sure you check them out. They do a tremendous job. And again, if you're hungry for barbecue, Adam's Smokehouse is where it's at. So get down there and check them out. Tell them your friends at Two Birds on a Bat told you about it. Okay. So as we were getting into this and we were trying to look at, like, you know, what do you do in this whole thing? Okay. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what would Benji Molina do? What would guys that really played the game, how do you fix this mess? Because it does feel like a mess to me. It really does. So I'm not sure you can fix it overnight, but I think there are changes you can make. But in the end, fans are frustrated because anything they do, I mean, this isn't a luck thing. When you do things and they don't work out, it becomes a pattern, right? Something that happened in the game last night, everybody's freaking out about. But to me, it was a no-win situation. They walked Carlos Santana, okay? And everybody says, well, they did it, you know. They did it for a variety of reasons. Number one, they did it. Yeah, a double play would have been nice, but they also didn't want to pitch to him. They had two guys hitting behind him that aren't great. One's a pinch hitter, who I've never heard of, and the other guy was going to be Altair, who's been awful, even though I even tweeted last night before he batted, this guy scares me to death, and it's because he's a guy that had a lot of potential, and it just hasn't worked out for him. But the reality of it is, you got to do what you think is right there, because if Carlos Santana beat you there, everybody's going, you had first base open, why are you pitching to him? But here's my thing.
You can't lose.
Cardinal fans, every one of you guys act like you've never seen a manager walk the tying run with a base open. It's happened to us for years. You don't pitch to the other team's best hitter. And Carlos Santana's average may not be great, but this guy's a good hitter, okay? You don't pitch to him with first base open and two guys batting behind him that you've never heard of? Come on.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. I don't even know why we're talking about that one.
Well, I'll tell you why, because a bunch of media guys rile up the fan base and go, you never walk the tying run. How's that work out for you? I mean, it's just...
How many times do we see it against us?
It's happened for years. It happens to every team all the time. Not all the time, because the situation doesn't. But I'm telling you, the percentages of time that that happens, I promise you, Bruce Bochy, Terry Francona, all these great managers everybody loves, they're walking that guy. They're walking him. Especially in our situation. Especially in our situation. We don't have anybody left in the bullpen. We got guys off limits. Okay, we got guys. Whether you think they should be able to pitch again today or not is irrelevant. If the guys show up and they're beat, they talked about it all day. We're going to have a really thin bullpen tonight, but nobody seems to care. I don't understand.
I don't think that's just that's a waste of time, I think. I mean, talking and explaining that one, Jimbo, because They do it to us all the time. You don't want to face the good hitters, so you put the tying run in the base because the other worst hitters are coming. It's very simple. There's nothing to explain. And if you don't get that, then you don't get it. That's it, man. I don't feel like explaining that one. I mean, that's too easy.
Well, a bunch of people out there with a bunch of numbers are telling me I'm crazy, and I'm just sitting here going, I don't care about your numbers. Your numbers don't relate to every situation. Yeah, you don't walk a guy that's a shitty hitter, that's a no-name guy you've never heard of before, but a guy that's hit well in the major leagues for a long time and is a professional hitter and has power in a bam box, yeah, you walk him. I'm sorry. He's got double-digit home runs.
Yeah,
he's not a slouch.
You want to face him? You want to face him over a guy who's hitting – one something, and it's a worse hitter than him. Well, I mean, where's the strategy in that? Where's the numbers on that? What numbers are you going to show me that facing Santana over the pinch hitter and somebody else? What number? Where are you going to go? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't waste my time explaining those.
Well, you know, it was the great Valentin that he faced and struck out. A young guy, you know, a 2-4, I don't know. I can't help. I just can't do it. I mean, it's frustrating to me. Listen, the reality of it is everybody listening to this that's going, you don't know what you're talking about. They're saying that because it didn't work. Once again, okay, of course.
It's easier, huh?
Yeah, that's right. It's real easy. I always say it's easy from the couch.
Yep, it's way easy from the couch. Ah, he shouldn't swing at it. Well, he already swung. It's easier to say when things happen. Oh, Mike Matheny, bad move because he brought the lefty. Well, the lefty didn't do the job, but it's Matheny's fault for bringing him in. I don't get that. So,
and here's another thing. I'm gonna rant here for just a second before we finish up. Number one, I said this for years.
One second. One perfect example was in the NBA Finals when that guy missed the free throw in the first final game, remember?
Yep.
And then J.R. Smith run with the ball. He didn't know how many – or the score. He didn't know how many seconds was left, whatever. And they all want to blame J.R. Smith. Oh, we lost because J.R. Smith run with the ball. He didn't know what he was doing. No, people. We lost because the guy missed the free throw. You see how easy that was? The guy missed the free throw first. If he makes that free throw, JR has no business running with the ball and doing the bonehead play he did. But people wants to blame JR. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of the same here. Oh, Mike Matheny bringing the numbers. Okay, Bud Norris is going to face this guy. Oh, he's got him. Then Bud Norris gave it up. Oh, Matheny shouldn't get the Bud Norris in there. What the hell is he doing? You know what I'm saying? Nah, that's a waste of time.
Well, and I'm not, and listen, I'm not naive enough not to know that, and again, I say this all the time, and people can think whatever they want to think. They're completely within their right. On the record, I don't think he's a great manager. The talent on his team has deteriorated for years. So I don't have really any idea what he would do with a roster like Tony La Russa used to have. I have no idea what he would do because he's never had one, whether you want to admit that or not. He's never had
one of his best teams. Jimbo, one of Martinez's best team made it to the World Series.
That's right.
Just let's leave it like
that's right. And listen, contrary to popular belief, those weren't Tony's guys. Okay? He did a good job that year. There's no doubt about it. The bottom line is this.
Players and he had the team playing good.
But again, I look at the whole thing and I just say, okay, he does all kinds of things that I sit there and scratch my head. But I also don't know what's going on. Now, when it comes to things working out, here's what I know about baseball. If you have better players and you allow them to play, things tend to work out more than when you have poor players and you put them in a position to succeed. It's not rocket science. If you go stick me in a job that I'm not very good at, I'm a doer. If you know anything about me, I'm a guy that gets shit done, right? So if you stick me in a job that I don't really do very well, there's going to be times where I can do it. But because I'm not very good at it, I'm also not going to do well at times. It's not rocket science. That's what we have is a bunch of guys that can just do it. We don't have a bunch of guys that do it really, really well. And that's the difference. When Tony La Russa was here, that wasn't how it was done. It wasn't done anything like that. They address needs on his teams all the time. Listen, guys, if you ever needed an example of the difference between a Tony La Russa regime when he was here and now the Mike Matheny regime, do you think for 1 minute, with all we have in the minors, if Tony La Russa was the manager, would Kelvin Herrera be a Cardinal today? Chances are good he would have at least been, like, considered.
I tell you one thing, though. I love Colton Wong, and I love Fowler, and I love Carp. But with Tony La Russa here, I don't think they make that team. I don't think they'll be playing right now. I really don't believe it. Tony was a guy that said, I'm here to win the game. And if I'm going to put the guys out there. Well, he had the guys, actually, to start that way. He had the guys that made it possible. I get that. But he wasn't afraid. He'll tell you, I'm here to win the freaking game. And I bet you anything, him as a manager probably wouldn't be too happy having guys hitting under 200 and underperforming. He wouldn't be happy because it doesn't make him good, you know. It doesn't make anybody good. We can't win games when you got guys 180 and 190. I mean, we can once in a while, but not a consistent basis. It's really tough, man, but I don't think Tony, what do you think? Tony wouldn't accept that. That's why he's out.
when you're constantly putting pressure on your front office to improve the roster because it's not good enough, and in this day, I mean, listen, don't you think towards the end, Tony putting his foot down about a kid like Colby Rasmus was kind of the signal that, like, hey, this, as we move forward with the new game of baseball, it's not going to work. I mean, he just said, listen, I'm not going to play him. I don't like him. I don't care what your scouts say. He's not a winner. You know?
Now, many teams in the major leagues right now, Jimbo, many teams are a yes, sir guy managing their teams. If you have a guy like Bobby Cox, if you have a guy Tony La Russa, if you have a guy like Bruce Bochy is still there, but Bruce Bochy is probably one of them that says, yes, sir. That's why he still have a job. As soon as you start bumping heads with the freaking, with your freaking GM or whatever, president, your faith is done. You got to go. Because you're always against what they said, even if you believe something. So you end up having guys that tells you, yes, sir,
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Yep. That's a good one. Yes, sir. And then you have a team. You're in the team. I mean, that's, I'm not saying the Cardinals. I'm just saying in the whole baseball, the whole MLB thing. Look around. You'll see. You'll notice.
Yeah. I don't. You know, this isn't even an insight thing. You can just kind of look at what's going on around you, and it shouldn't be that difficult, to be honest with you. That's my opinion. I don't think it's rocket
science.
Well,
let's tell people, too, that these guys are exciting. If these guys would play, Jimbo, I mean, we've been covering the negative, of course, because we want them to win so bad. But let's tell them, too, this team, if Fowler was hitting 270, how he normally is, or stealing bases like he normally is, or if Pham was hitting 310, like he normally does, or stealing bases, getting on base, or if Wong was hitting 240, or if Carpenter was hitting 300 like he was when he was killing it, we wouldn't be having these conversations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
because those guys will be performing, and they have the potential, the word I hate. They have it. They have the potential. They've done it. So if they come up and they figures it out, and they start hitting and they start doing all their things, what they know how to do, this team is going to change. It's going to get those help, and it's going to change. It's going to be a way better team. We're going to score more runs, and we're going to pitch. It becomes a lot easier. So they need to know these things, Jimbo. They need to know that, because we always punch on the negative. But, man, if these guys could come up and start doing what they do best, which is hitting, and then, you know, when they had good years, and be consistent out there, this team will be stacked too, man. Having Wong at second base, doing the things that he do at second base, covering ground, and then having Carpenter playing the best baseball, hitting 300, getting on base, and Fowler hitting 270, 275, Wong 240. I mean, that'll change the whole logic of our team, man, I tell you.
Well, here, on cue, too, I just see a tweet from John Morrissey, on cue, that the Red Sox are interested in upgrading their bullpen, but have been told in order to acquire Brad Hand, the asking price would be young everyday player Rafael Devers. Do you know who Rafael Devers is, people? He's one of the best young players in baseball. He was the number four prospect in all of baseball. Do you know who the Cardinals have that's like a number four prospect? It's like Flaherty, Alex Reyes. Is that who you want to trade for Brad Hand? You want to create a hole to get Brad Hand?
That guy is not a potential guy. That guy is a doer. He's doing it. He's in the big league. He's been a couple of years. He's doing it. He's done it. That's the difference from O'Neill or from a guy that has Kelly, that has potential. They haven't done it. This guy has been 2 years, maybe three, 2.5 years, killing the ball, doing what he's supposed to, killing it, doing, having good years. He is a doer. It's a way different word than a potential. Okay? That's very, very different.
Well, and that's my point, though. So, again, if you want Brad Hand, the only comparable guy we have to him is, do you want to trade Jack Flaherty or Jordan Hicks for Brad Hand? I mean, Jordan Hicks isn't even we're talking about Rafael Devers was the number four overall prospect in baseball just a year ago. Just a year ago. And he's in the big leagues playing and producing. And he's a player.
Yeah, doing it.
And that's who they're asking for Brad Hand. So, again, I guess why wouldn't you trade the guy if you're going to get a haul back for him? But thinking you're going to get him for some mid-range prospect, I don't see it. So,
They ain't going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to give away their best left-hander.
That guy's nasty. There's no doubt about it. They got a few nasty guys down in that bullpen. So, anyway, listen.
Man.
I can tell you this. God, I hope better days are ahead. I love the Cardinals. I hate this. I really do. I know you're the same way too, but golly, I hate this. This stinks. Always always wanting them to do better and feeling like they just can't get it done. And I think when reality sets in, you know, I saw some people last night on Twitter who listen, they're not sheep. They call the kettle black when it needs to be called black. But I saw some people last night, emotion get the best of them. Guys that typically, you know, can at least understand sometimes why things are the way they are, just absolutely lose their mind last night on Twitter. And I get it. I mean, this is crazy. And again, I'll say it. I'll leave you with this. And I this is what I wanted to say earlier, and I'll leave you with this thought. Years ago, I used to say, we are the St. Louis Cardinals, and we don't have a center fielder that can throw the ball from here to there. Okay, we are the St. Louis Cardinals, and every year we're trying to figure out who the hell is going to play shortstop. We're the St. Louis Cardinals. So I leave you with this. We are the St. Louis Cardinals, and we don't have a guy in the bullpen, a left-hander that can throw to one hitter and get him out in a big spot. We don't have a left-hander, a guy that you pay nothing to, that does nothing but come in. His whole job in the whole world is to sit there in the bullpen until it's late in the game and Barry Bonds comes up, or Ken Griffey Jr., or Joey Votto, or Jay Bruce. You have to explain to me how this is. We are the St. Louis Cardinals. We spend money on players, whether you like to admit it or not, and we don't have a guy making $1 million a year that's whole purpose in life is to throw to one batter every 2 days or 2 or 3 days in a row in a big series. How does that happen? How does that happen? You've got... It sounds awful. So until we can figure out how that happens, I don't know how we're going to fix the bigger problems. This should be a no-brainer, an absolute no-brainer. And listen, I don't want to hear, well, I think they thought Sheriff might be that guy. Because the reality of it is when the bullpen was full, Sheriff was odd man out. And here's the other thing.
He's the one that needs to be in.
That's right.
And he's the man out.
That's right.
And he's the one who needs to be in the bullpen to get people out. He gets lefties out, people. He gets left-handers out. And the ones that we have are having a pretty good trouble getting lefties out. So he is the odd man in.
So here's my question. And this is what I'm ending it with. And maybe you guys think about it. Tweet at us. Do whatever you want to do. If Schaefer worked his way into that role and was going to be, you know, if they're going to stand up in front of a podium and say, well, Jim, you know, Schaefer was going to be that guy for us, and, you know, obviously we didn't plan on him getting hurt, I would say, okay, I get it. Players get hurt. Players get hurt on every team. So we're just going to sit here and not do anything about it? So you're telling me we're going to play the rest of the year? We're going to play the rest of the year with nobody down there to get Joey Votto out, to get Jay Bruce out, to get Travis Shaw out, to get Anthony Rizzo out. We're going to go the whole year with nobody down there to do that. This is a simple move, and yet we're sitting here trying to figure out what big moves they're going to make? Come on.
The right guy, Jimbo. The right guy needs to be up. That's all I'm asking. The right guy, the people that get the people out, the people that's doing their job, those are the guys who needs to be in our club. I'm telling you, the people that are not, they're here.
Well, and that was kind of my point where I'm going. We're going to have to do something drastic. I mean, again, I don't know what the answer is, but I don't care how far down you got to go in the minor leagues. If there's a guy down there who can get left-handers out, it might be time to bring him up and put him in the role and start cutting some guys that can't do it. Because in the end, I don't know. Again, you can blame the manager all you want. And I don't even care. I mean, people think I care. I really don't, because I think it's ridiculous. It doesn't matter if Connie Mack comes back. It doesn't matter if Bobby Cox comes back. Tony La Russa can come back and manage this team, and he still is going to have to hand the ball to Brett Cecil. He's still going to have to hand the ball to Matt Bowman. He's still going to have to hand the ball to all these guys that are not getting it done. Unless he comes back and says, I'm not coming back unless you get rid of these guys. It's that simple.
That's what we're going to see.
I mean, it is that simple. So, anyway, I find that interesting that we don't have a – I mean, even the worst teams in the league have a left-handed guy down in their bullpen. It just blows me away. It just blows me
away. Go through the winning teams. That's all you have to do because that's what we're trying to – that's where we're trying to get, Jimbo. That's where we're trying to get to where those winning teams are. That's what we're trying to be, first place, second place, close. That's where we want to be. So go check out their bullpen. Go check out their roster, and you tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean any disrespect to Terry Francona, but when you got good left-handers coming up and you get to give the ball to Andrew Miller, you're telling me that takes a rocket scientist to do? I mean, are you kidding
me? Yeah, like you're smarter because you have Andrew Miller in the bullpen.
And Cody Allen. And I mean, and you had Brian Shaw for multiple years. I mean, Brian Shaw left after being good for years, and Andrew Miller was hurt, okay? And Cody Allen is getting older. And all of a sudden, while they're in first place, it ain't like they got a great record. So all of a sudden, did Terry Francona get dumber? Or did his bullpen come back down to reality? I don't
know. Exactly.
And again, I like Terry Francona. I don't care.
That's what we said before. We have to have the guys to do it. We have to have guys that do it out there, Jimbo. It's very simple. It's not like you said, it's not rocket science. When you have guys with 40-some RBIs, when you have guys with 15 home runs, when you have guys with 280 to 300 batting average all over your lineup, I mean, it's going to be way different than the guys who have three guys hitting below 200. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
It has to be. And we're having good. Think about it. Yadi was out. DeJong has been out. We have people out, and you know, that could help us. And we had them out. And all of a sudden, we're still in it. It's still 90-plus games left to play. 90-plus games. That tells you what the heck is going on here. So it's not like we're at the end of the year. So the only thing we need to do is find a way to have our players perform. And are they going to perform? Because if they're not going to perform, then we need to do something about it. If you want to win, if you don't care about winning or losing, then you keep it how it is, and you'll be okay.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, once again, we're in year three of the same issues. And, you know, and again, for the people that want to say, yeah, you're right, we're in year three of the same issue and we have the same manager. Okay, I can't argue that. But we're also in year three of the same issues, and there's a lot of people that need to look in the mirror because a lot of things are the same. The talent level hasn't improved. The same guys are running the show and signing these guys and, you know, calling guys up, sending guys down. You know, there's a lot of things going on here that's an issue. So, again, how do we fix it? I don't know. I mean, there's it's going to have to take – listen, we're in a situation where it's going to take some drastic stuff to fix this. Just my opinion. But we'll see what happens. Again, they get paid to make those decisions, and – for what little we get paid, we get to sit around here and talk about those decisions. Doesn't make us right. They just make it our opinions. And I still go by the fact that they know a whole lot more than we do. They just are dealing with a bottom line that we as fans don't have to care about. And again, I always say they're making plenty of money. But guess what? People that make a lot of money make a lot of money for what reason? They make sure that they make a lot of money. So it's a business. Benji, one of the very first things you ever told us when you came on this show is never forget that it's a business first. And to Mo's credit, he stood in a room of about 75 people at a very, you know, intimate gathering for, you know, as a fundraiser, and the very first thing he said is that his main job is to make money for his owners. So he doesn't hide from it.
That's not the smartest thing to say, but it is.
You know, he said, you know. But, you know, he also followed up with, obviously, we're going to win if we, you know, we're going to make money by putting on a good product, and we feel we owe it to the fans to do the best job. We don't always get it right, but we try. You know, I mean, he said all those things too. But I did find it odd that a guy that's usually pretty generic and pretty close to the vest, you know, just fired it up like that. And, you know, it's almost like it was a message of, hey, don't forget.
So why is it so hard for the fans to understand that, though?
Well, because you have guys like me that run around saying, I understand that it's a business, and I think your business is doing quite well, so why don't we try to run our business better on the field with the decision-making? Because I think it's possible to do both. And I think as fans, at the end, that's what we hold them accountable for. I don't think any fan begrudges the Cardinals to make money. In fact, I think the Cardinal fans, if you were to ask them when they're not upset, would say, we want the team to make a lot of money because we want them to be able to put a good product on the field. Fans are just frustrated because, I hate to say this, but it sure appears that the people that are deciding who these people are on the field, they're not doing a great job. And while Mo obviously has done an unbelievable job at the farm system, he's proving that to not be the greatest major league talent evaluator on the planet. So something's going to have to give there. I don't know what it is, but something's going to have to give. So anyway.
You have to. Yeah. Something has to give because I don't want to. I'm not here to lose, and I don't even play for them. I work for them. I bet you anything they're all. I had a long talk with Willie McGee the other day. And I told him, hey, man, how do you compare this team to all the ballers you guys have in 85 and 86, whatever that year was? And he just looked at me and smiled. He just looked at me and smiled, shake his head, and that was his answer. But we had a long talk with him, and these kids right now, it's very different. They don't perform, but they still play. You know what I'm saying? And in times before, where you had the 80s, where you had the 90s, where you have even the 2000s early, you don't perform, Jimbo. You don't play. You don't play. And these guys, a lot of them in the major leagues, not the Cardinals, I'm talking about the overall major leagues, they hit what they hit, and they still are fighting and getting mad because they don't play. How is that possible? When you saw... You hit 220, 230 in the minor leagues, you will never be brought up to the big leagues. Ever. Ever. And you see guys getting brought up these days, hitting 210, 220, but their potential and their number one prospect, number two, number three, whatever. And then you got guys in the big leagues that are hitting really low. And again, I want to emphasize this, not the Cardinals. Again, everywhere in the big leagues that are hitting 180 or whatever, 200, and they're fighting and feeling bad with their coaches because they don't play. What the hell are you going to tell your coach? Coach, I need to play, buddy. I need it. I earned it. Okay, 190, 200, you earned it? You see the difference from old school to now? I mean, come on, man. It's way different.
Would you say that the number one thing that's made it difficult and hard is the amount of money that they're paying players these days?
Well, it makes it hard, Jimbo, because you have to pay a couple guys. Maybe two or three guys on your team has to be really good pay. But then the rest of it has to be young guys. Why do you think we don't see 35, 36, 37-year-old players anymore? Because they were the normal guys. They were the guys who got paid 5, 6, 7 million. You know how many young players they can pay with $7 million? Oh man, they could pay minor league deal. I mean, not minor league, but minimum deals to like 5, 6 of those and save money. That's how they see it. They don't see the product. Like I play with so many 36-year-olds, so 37-year-old, very very strong veterans, and they were let go. They were cut. Oh, you're making too much money. $5 million for a veteran player that's going to teach your kids how to play most of the time, and they're going to do the job, not potentially do it. Like right now, you know, we see a lot of potentially do it, but they don't do it. But these guys can do it. Oh, no, we can't have him. But that's what, like you said, we give him the money to a lot of good players, three, four, oh, without counting the starting pitching. And then you get stuck with the young guys because you got to balance it somehow, right?
Well, I'll do this. I'll end it with this. Everybody's got a budget. I have a budget at my house. You know, I spend my money within my budget. A certain amount of money doesn't get spent for whatever the reason is. No differently than for saving, or money goes here or money goes there. Probably much like a major league club decides how much money they're going to spend for this, that, or the other thing. The problem is this. If I need a new car and I go out and I buy a car and that car is not very good and that car doesn't work out, I'm the one that bought the car. It's not the car's fault. Now, the problem is, what if I did all my research on this car? What if I checked the consumer reports and I did all the reviews and everything told me that this was the car? Well, how's that my fault? I did the best I could with the information I had on hand. So it's hard to differentiate.
Exactly right.
And where I'm going with this is, so this would be an instance where it's hard to fault myself. I did everything I could and it didn't work out for me, which I think we have a few of those scenarios going on with the Cardinals. I think they did everything they could and it's just a bad situation. But I would also be remiss.
It didn't work out.
That's right. But I would also be remiss not to say that maybe once or twice in my life, I needed a car and I showed up on the lot and everything told me I need this car. The problem is this car is $4,000 out of my price range. This car over here, I'm not real sure about it, but I can afford it, so I'm going to go buy it. And I'm buying it only because it's what I can afford. Well, whose fault is it when this car, I knew there was a risk with this car, and I bought it anyway. Then it is my fault. And I think we got a couple of those guys, too. So,
oh, man, you explained it so good. Let's see how many people got it.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know if I'm turning into a philosopher or anything, but I think that's my easiest way to explain it.
But it was very well explained. What do you want? You know, what do they want? That was really well explained, and that's what happens sometimes. You know, as a team, you hit goal, and as a team, you hit bottom. You know, and that's it. It's very simple.
Well, I always find it interesting because the Greg Holland thing interests me the most because, you know, there's a lot of what if, right? Right? So if our bullpen was bad like it is right now, what if, let's just say, let me throw a scenario out to you. I'm trying to think of a team that's, it doesn't even matter who it is, right? A team that needs bullpen help. What if the Chicago Cubs sign Greg Holland, swoop in the first day of spring training because Holland lets everybody know, okay, I'm willing to accept a year deal. And he pitches well. Well, then what happens? Oh, the cheap Cardinals, they wouldn't even spend for 1 year for Greg Holland, and now look what he's doing. I'm telling you, It's a tough, tough gig. You're right. You said it best at the beginning of the show today. That was not a bad signing. It's a good signing that has failed miserably. That's it. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and those happen 24/7. It doesn't happen just to us.
It happens
to everybody.
Here's what you
sign a guy and it doesn't work out.
Here's what I'll say, and this is truly our last statement of the day. Here's what I'll say. I promise you, the St. Louis Cardinals are much happier today that they have signed Greg Holland than the Colorado Rockies have signed Wade Davis today, because they've got him for two more years. The Cardinals get to say bye-bye to Greg Holland in 90 games, even if he's not gone before them. The Colorado Rockies don't have that luxury. So I promise you, while we wanted both of them on this show,
start pitching good, man.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. No differently than what happens if Dexter Fowler starts hitting. What happens if Dexter Fowler starts hitting? So anyway.
Or Wong. You know, Wong start hitting, we can make the difference in this club. He can start making difference in this club because he can be a threat in the bases. He can do all these, you know, and then Cart to start hitting consistently. And he has the past weeks. But I'm just saying, like, if he's able to do what he's normally do and Wong and Fowler, we'll be talking about a different team right now.
Well, we'll see what happens. Ran a little long today. Want to thank everybody for sticking with us. Don't forget, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the podcast there. It's absolutely free to your shopping through Amazon. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends as well. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. We're also part of the lineupmedia.fm network. You can type that in. Find us. Find a ton of things there, of course. Subscribe to the show through there. Anything you need to do. But more importantly, Yo Radio, the newest internet radio station, download it. It's streaming. You're going to love it. It's great stuff. And again, they're promoting and working with new entertainers, celebrities, sports figures. A lot of people are going to have their stations on there. You'll be able to listen to what they have on their iPod. So pretty good stuff over there with Yo Radio. Make sure you check it out and leave them a review. Once again, special thanks to Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers here from Lineup Media. They do all the work behind the scenes. Couldn't do the show without the people that continue to support us. Of course, thank you to Patio's, the original party destination for all Cardinal fans over by Busch Stadium. Don't forget my friends Randy and Stephanie Green over at Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. For your construction needs, heating and cooling, electric, and now plumbing, they are the number one answer for your question. Who should I call? That's InnovatedCompanies.com. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, and more importantly, a man of his word. Give him an opportunity. That's my man, Randy Green. Of course, Mark Marcuso down at Arlington Greens, the hidden jewel here in the Midwest. Give him an opportunity. Find what you need for your golf experience down there with my friend, Mark Marcuso. Again, it's a wonderful trek, laid out great. They do a great job down there keeping the play nice. And again, if you need to run a tournament, the only problem with running a tournament down there is when you get down there, they're booked because everybody wants Mark to run their tournament. So, again, check out Mark Marcuso down at Arlington Greens. Of course, Adam's Smokehouse is making me hungry as I think about it. If you're looking for great barbecue, don't look any further than Adam's Smokehouse. Tell my man Mike or my man Frank down there that you heard about him on Two Birds on a Bat. To my good friend Benji Molina, thanks for joining us on the M4byYachty.com hotline. Don't forget to check out the wonderful apparel over at M4byYachty.com. I know you guys saw the stuff in the paper last week, the wonderful fundraising event they had. The M4 Foundation from Yachty or Molina, folks, that's what the money's for. He uses it to help the people in Puerto Rico, the devastation that's there. You guys have seen what he's doing down there. If you get an opportunity, go to M4byYachty.com. Check out all the wonderful apparel. You see the M4 hats and shirts all over the stadium. They've got it down there now in the shop. Again, we just can't thank Yachty enough for all he does for the show. And, of course, Benji coming on. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, I leave you. Let's go, Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.